The two most powerful warriors are patience and time. Leo Tortoy, author of War and Peace.
Hey there, I'm Ashley, mom of four and creator of Reps and Redemption. Join me as I share my passion for health education, explore all things fitness and nutrition, plus share a little faith-filled homemaking along the way. If you're a mom ready to build strength and live a life of epic redemption, this podcast is for you. Let's get after it.
I hope you are doing amazing. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Reps and Redemption podcast. Please don't forget to share this podcast with a friend. And also, I would love to hear from you. Email in. You can message me on Instagram. I will get back to you as soon as possible. I love to hear what listeners want to hear. And I want to make sure that we are on the same page together. And I am here to encourage you. I love knowing what you are all into, how you are trying to prioritize your faith and your fitness, and what topics you are most interested in. So please let me know. And if you are having any specific problems with anything in regards to faith, fitness, motherhood, I would love to help you solve those problems. If I can't answer, I've said this in the past, I will love to pitch several guests and have experts come on the show. And this is so you and I can learn together. So feel free to do that. My email address will be in the show notes, but it is repsandredemption@gmail.com. My Instagram handle is @ashrepsandredemption. And yeah, I think that ought to do it. So today we're going to talk about how to control the chaos. And then at the end, I'm going to kind of go over quick glute focus for moms. And I'm going to just kind of give you an update on my own training style as of lately. So let's get going. Now I'm reading this book. I don't want to say reading. Let me correct myself. I am listening to this book on Audible. It is called The 32 Principles. It is by Rainier. I think I'm saying his name right. Rainier Gracie. It's Harnessing the Power of Jiu-Jitsu to Succeed in Business, Relationships, and Life. And I'm currently on chapter 8. And there is so many nuggets of wisdom in this book. I love that. I love when you're listening to a book or reading a book and you're like, oh my goodness, I can apply that to this situation or that situation. Now, I will make a side note. The best book of wisdom is, drumroll please, as you know, the Word of God, the Bible. And that is the living, breathing Word of the Lord that we should dive into every day. I do think that jiu-jitsu has helped me really think more deeply about a lot of scripture that I've been reading lately, but we can go in that direction another time. So I want to talk about, again, how to control the chaos in our life. And the reason why I want to touch on this is because I am competing actually tomorrow in my very first jiu-jitsu competition. And so is my husband. This is his second one. So is my 6-year-old. This is her second one. And so is my 21-year-old. This is her first one. So all of us, aside from the two babies, are competing tomorrow. I don't really know if I'm nervous in the sense of actual competing or if I am becoming more like my husband, where I'm compartmentalizing things and I have so much to do as a mom, hence control the chaos, which is what we're going to talk about today, that I don't really have the time to be super nervous or get super overwhelmed with what I'm about to go do. Maybe it'll happen beforehand. I did play competitive sports in college. This is absolutely completely different, but I'm more so excited to compete, to see where I'm at, to see how it goes. And yeah, so I want to talk about controlling the chaos in our life as moms, because on the jiu-jitsu mat, the whole point is when you're on top, when you're the dominant position, you're in a better position, even if maybe you're not on the top exactly. You want to control the chaos. You are in more control. But if you are on the bottom and you're in the most inferior position, you want to create chaos. So I'm talking about how to control the chaos with the idea that I'm actually stepping out onto a mat and I'm going to grapple with another adult female. And how can I control the chaos that she's going to bring? I've never worked with her before. We've never drilled together. We don't know each other. How can I breathe deep and try to control what she's going to deliver to me, and vice versa? How could she do that in this sense with me? Now, the clock principle in this book that I just talked about, the 32 principles, is using a change in timing to gain an advantage. And I love this clock principle because I think it does pertain to us moms, how busy we are as homemakers, as wives, we're managing a household. Some of us work in the house, some outside. We're full-time homemakers. We're homeschoolers. We have passions of our own. We have desires for our children to go do certain things. We need to take them places. And there's so many things to get done. I've said this a lot in the last episode about planning, and although I don't believe I am going into tomorrow's competition with an exact plan, I do have a framework of what I know I'm actually halfway, maybe not halfway, a quarter of the way decent at, that I'm going to maybe spam my opponent with. Because, number one, I'm very new to this sport. And number two, why would I use something that I don't really know? So I want to apply this clock principle to controlling the chaos in our lives as busy moms who love our family, who sometimes get driven a little bit crazy with them or their lack of listening. Can you tell I'm speaking from experience today alone? And how can we kind of take control? Honestly, I do have a couple of points here to make, but the first thing I want to highlight, actually, I'll highlight that at the end. Let me go through the points that I have here in my notepad. So, you know, in this book, in the beginning of the chapter, it says recognizing the right move at the wrong time is still the wrong move. So we might consider doing something either for ourselves or for our children or for our spouse. And it might be the right thing, right? But if it's at the wrong time, then it's not really the right thing. This can pertain to even our quiet time with the Lord. If we really need it to be quiet, otherwise we're going to get frustrated. We know we're going to get triggered. Can you also, again, hear in my voice that I'm speaking from experience of 2 mornings this afternoon. I waited too long. I had the opportunity. I remember looking back on the opportunity of the 22-minute quiet window that I had, and instead I mixed bread. Now, I'm going to really highlight that next time I will be reading my Bible first and mix the bread when the kids are up. That's a lot easier. That's a better switch, I think. So I can get into the details of that, but you get the hint. So you kind of get the idea of where I'm going with that. It was the right thing to do, but it was definitely, I don't want to say reading the Bible, there's ever a wrong time, because I don't believe that there is a wrong time to pray or a wrong time to read your Bible. But like for me, with a few different things. I really would like it to be a little bit quieter or more calm. So for me, it would be better to do it first thing when they're playing quietly in the morning, not when it's kind of starting to get a little chaotic. And that is how I can kind of take control, is knowing in advance or kind of having an understanding of what's going to happen. So let's go through the 4 points that I have to taking control of the chaos around you. Number one, let's set realistic goals. This is realistic goals of ourselves. Number one, what can we do today? What are we able to do? Is this realistic? Is this way too much? I am so guilty of biting off way more than I can chew. And then my head hits the pillow at midnight. My baby's up at 3 a.m. to eat. It's just a disaster. So I am very guilty of this, and I have to make a few changes. And we need to assess our priorities, set achievable goals for our faith and our fitness, and start small. There is a few things that people have asked me, like, how do you make bread and how do you go to the gym and now you're training jiu-jitsu and you do these things, and And I will say that, oh, I have so many things to adjust here because I have added a little bit more. But that's kind of what happens. You start with one or two things, you build the habit, and when you add on another child, you already have these things built in. They're kind of a system. They're already working. And yes, there's going to be an adjustment period. I feel like I'm hitting that period now, a new adjustment period, and I need to make another assessment. But when you start small and you gradually increase the intensity of your workout or the duration of your quiet time, you eventually build momentum. And setting realistic goals, it will help you more likely stay motivated and committed to your routine. I'm going to say that I am not always motivated to go to the gym or go to jujitsu. As much as I love it, I'm not always motivated to play with my kids when they ask me to play. I'm not always motivated to bake bread or take care of my house, or it's the window for cleaning one specific house chore. I'm not motivated to do that. But there's a lot to be said for consistency, and there's a lot to be said for doing it anyways. So I want to point that one out. That is, set realistic goals. That is number one. Number two, plan. I said this in the last one. This kind of flows. You know, this is like a living, breathing plan. Like, it can change with you. It doesn't have to be so, you know, rigid. Or I don't know if it's possible to have a very rigid schedule as a stay-at-home mom who homeschools. Maybe, but I feel like, from me personally, reason 1110 of homeschooling and being with my children is so that it doesn't have to be so rigid. Now, that's just me. It probably could work if you were just a person who wanted to start the thing when they wanted to start it. But I love the flexibility and the fluidness, I guess you could say, the flow of kind of just block scheduling and dedicating certain times of day for certain things. And that's basically what we do as a family. I divide the blocks up into four blocks. The fourth block is my block, so I don't really have anything written for anyone else in that block. But the first three blocks in my schedule are, each block has two to three very important non-negotiables. So for example, block number one, breakfast and Bible story with my kids, right? And there's actually, in that one, there's one or two other things that are pertinent. Anything else happens, come what may. Lunch block, school, lunch, nap, like certain things that will happen regardless. We go to the gym at 11 a.m. Like, it's going to happen. It's going to actually flow, because you know what's next. The kids kind of know what's next. And whether we go to the gym or the park, we usually leave the house between 10:30 a.m. and like 11:30 a.m. It just kind of depends on where we're going or what we're doing. But it's usually the gym. And then we come home, we set up for lunch and play outside, have school. I lay my two-year-old down for nap, and it kind of just works like that. And it makes life so much more breathable. And this helps me control the chaos. And I do still need to sit down like every Saturday or Sunday to really write out the plan. Okay, you know, my husband, my oldest daughter, and I, we kind of talk, what do you have going on? Chloe, my oldest, are you singing this week at church? Where are you serving? Oh, she wants to go do this with her friends. I pencil all this in, like I put this in so I know what's going on. And it kind of helps you, you know, just have an expectation of the week. You know when you're getting to the gym. You know what your kids are having for lunch because you made a few notes. Like, this does not have to be anything serious. But when I know the two or three breakfast options for the week and the two or so lunch options when we get home, if they're not already made, it's super simple. And it helps me maintain the inevitable chaos that's going to happen. And when I say chaos, I hope you hear the playfulness in my voice, but also the intensity of it. Because as we know, Murphy's Law, I believe, is anything can go wrong, will go wrong. And this is it's just part of life. Things are gonna happen. Your kids are gonna get dirty. I'm fine with my kids getting dirty as long as we don't have to like get to church within the next 20 minutes or something on Sunday. Then I'd probably get kind of upset about that. But, you know, having this structure, this loose structure of, you know, trying out the blocks, the two or three blocks. Actually, it's for me, it's three or four. A lot of people push for five. But basically, you write the time on top of a piece of paper. And for me, it looks like this, like 5 a.m. to 12 p.m. or 5 a.m. to 11 a.m., 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. You pick the times and you pick, because I know we leave at a certain time. So that's block two. And block two starts at 11 a.m., whether we've left the house yet or not. But it just kind of helps us move along. And this will help you stay organized and help you prioritize your quiet time, which I need more of. I know, I'm sure you do, and your fitness amidst all of the busyness of our regular daily life. Number three, I've talked about this in the last several episodes, is finding accountability. Surrounding yourself with people who have similar goals, even if they're different, but they want to share in your commitment of your faith and your fitness. You can join a Bible study group. I've said before on the show, I'm in Bible study fellowship. I absolutely love it. I only have one, maybe 1.5 cons, is that my closest homeschooling program for BSF is 50 minutes away. So every Tuesday we load up in the car and we make the drive. And we've missed a couple because of the drive, or one of my kids have been sick, or I was sick a couple weeks ago. And then the other 0.5 con is waking them up so early to go get in the car, which is tough because like I've said, and like I've explained, we homeschool. So I kind of really let my kids sleep till whenever they wake up. And it, you know, for the exception of the baby, if it's been like a little too long, I'll wake him up to make sure he eats. But other than that, those two things are my only con. But I used to live a lot closer to this location, and now we live kind of north. So it is a hike, but joining a Bible study group is amazing. You can always check for online communities. I actually know that BSF has an online class. I'm considering that, but I love the fact that my littles can go and be a part of it and learn, excuse me, the same things that I'm learning as we study the book of John. You know, you want to connect with other people who support you and encourage you. Today, I saw my midwife at the gym and she was like, "Are you ready for weighing in tomorrow?" I'm like, "Can't believe I'm weighing in. Like, this is crazy." She's like, "Have you cut your calories or what did you decide?" I'm like, "You know what? I am so tired. I'm not going to lie that I did not even think to cut my calories or my carbs or anything. I'm just eating the same, hitting my protein, which is super important to me because I don't want to go into this thing tired." And I think, you know, if I make any huge changes to my regular diet, I'm already tired. I'm not going to help myself there going in very hungry and tired. So, you know, she was kind of, and she said, she's like, "I agree 100%. You didn't ask me, but I would have never even think to cutting your food." She probably would have increased my carbohydrates even more because of the tax of the cardiovascular tax it takes to do this sport, which, you know, pray for me because 4 minutes is a very long time when you're doing that. So having this accountability partner can help you stay on track with your goals and provide motivation for you during challenging times. I know that I've said before, it's hard to find moms who are kind of in the same boat. Maybe the seasons don't have to be the same. I know of a couple moms who have older kids, but also like just trying to challenge yourself to be better and bolder in your faith and a healthier version of you. It is hard to find mom friends. So I am really hoping to get this community going because I know a lot of you feel the same. And when I first became a mom, I know that it was tough because there was all these outward expectations from people who didn't even have little kids of me to do certain things that I didn't even know I had to do. And it was just like, it felt like so much. And I'm here to tell you that as long as you are connecting with the Lord and your spouse, you're doing just fine. You're doing amazing. And I want to move on to the next step. Number four, embrace flexibility and grace. So this is kind of just what I've said in the first part, was just being kind of go with the flow if you can a little bit, even when it's hard, and understand that life, you know, this life that we chose to stay with our kids, it can be really unpredictable. And there's days where our plans get completely derailed. And just embracing that and learning to adapt to unexpected changes, it's going to help us, you know, instead of seeing like dwelling on all the setbacks, and we focus on like progressing over perfection and giving ourselves grace when things don't go as planned. Every small step towards our goal counts, and we can celebrate the little tiny victories along the way. And I think this really does all pertain to the clock principle. You know, he talks a lot about in that chapter in the 32 principles about disrupting the timing of your opponent's techniques and the things that they want to try. And you're trying to make them think outside the box, and they're trying to do the same thing to you. So if we can kind of, one of the things recently that I've been learning with jiu-jitsu is learning to think ahead and thinking about my opponent who I'm about to grapple with, thinking about their plan and their answer to what I have to say. This is crazy, right? This really makes you dive deep into your motherhood soul and life and really kind of contemplate what would happen if all goes wrong. What would I do if tomorrow, when I'm trying to load the van to go to the gym, both of my kids explode? Do I have clothes downstairs? Do I have the wipes? Do I need to move things around? Do I need to repack the car? What if I were to get a flat tire on the way home? Are there enough snacks? Is there formula in the car in case something happens? I think this is really amazing. And it kind of makes you wonder, how can you control the chaos that is inevitable? And I'm not saying the chaos is even bad. No, that's different. Bad is bad. Chaos is just hard. And sometimes it can be a little overwhelming. But when we do these four steps that I've been working on myself, number one, we set realistic goals of ourselves and realistic expectations of our people. Number two, we create a schedule and a plan. Number three, we find accountability partners who are wanting to swim upstream with us, and maybe they're a little bit ahead of us. And number four, we embrace being flexible and we give out grace upon grace. I hope this has encouraged you. I'm really excited about this book and just listening to it. Even if you're not practicing jiu-jitsu or you haven't started yet or you're thinking about it, what's really cool is he's pertaining it to a lot of life scenarios. And I really love the deep thinking aspect of it, that it has made me think of my own walk with the Lord and my own life as a mom and as a wife, and really diving in deep into that thought process, even just at night before I go to bed, like when it is quiet. So I want to also go over, I'm running out of time here because I don't want to go too long, but I do think it's important to share with you my glute focus workout for you as a busy mom. This is gym friendly. If you need a home glute workout, feel free to message me. I can do an entire episode on that, or I can just send one over to you. But I want to kind of tell you a little something about myself. So a couple months ago, maybe almost a year ago, I realized that my gains, muscle-wise, were coming in hot. Upper body is super simple. I shouldn't say easy. Upper body is super simple for me. Even my core, it is simple for me in a sense. When I put in a little bit of effort and work, I see growth. I see definition. I see lean muscle mass. My lower half from the waist down is a little bit challenging. And I've realized that for a few reasons. Number one, I was not eating enough. So We'll start there. Number two, I was not lifting heavier enough to see the gains that I wanted to see in my quads, my hamstrings, and my glutes. And the main reason was really, I just want my butt to be happy. I don't know if you've ever heard that. Maybe I made it up, but I just want it to be happy. And I think there's something to be said for a happy bum. Now, moving into a very quick leg workout, and it's legs, but it's glute focused, that I've done this one a couple times, but I have seen a pretty good difference in the glutes for sure. That's your butt, your bum. And I have also seen growth in my quads and definition in my hamstrings, which makes me very happy. And I feel a lot stronger as well. And also a bonus to that is my core is also becoming more strong and my pelvic floor. So this is fantastic. So I always warm up before I start lifting. Now there's two different versions of warming up, or you can do both. But if you have time, I tend to sit in the sauna for 10 to 15 minutes before I work out or before I lift. This way my body's already warm. And if I don't really feel like hitting the cardio that day, or maybe I've already done jujitsu or I have it later, so I probably won't, because I have learned that doing too much cardio does not help me with my happy butt goals. So I need to be a little bit careful there. But I will warm up for about 15 minutes on the Stairmaster. I absolutely love the Stairmaster. I have an episode about the Stairmaster a couple episodes back. Feel free to listen to that. So then after that, I'll stretch a little tiny bit, like while I'm by my workout section, wherever I've chosen to start. And what I do next, last, is strength train. So I will perform 3 to 4 sets of each of these exercises, and my goal is 6 to 10 reps. Now, it just kind of depends on if this is a heavier day or if this is a little bit of a lighter day, then I'll do 3 sets of 10. If I want to push myself, I might do 2 sets of 10, 1 set of 8, or maybe even drop it more, 3 sets of 10. So each one is a different set. So 1 set of 10, 1 set of 8, 1 set of 6, if I'm really pushing myself. And then one of the first things I'll do is barbell squats. So that is kind of self-explanatory. You're using the rack. I'll do squats. Now I either do barbell squats or I will do deadlifts. Then I will go into, if I'm doing deadlifts, I'll skip this one. But if I do barbell squats, I'll go into dumbbell Romanian deadlifts. So it's a Romanian deadlift, but you're just using dumbbells and you're holding a pair of dumbbells in front of your thighs with your palms facing your body. You're going to hinge at the hips, keeping your back straight, and you're going to lower the dumbbells to the ground, slightly bending your knees, and you're going to squeeze your glutes on the return and start in the starting position. This is one of my favorites. Hip thrusts is a huge glute focus. I absolutely love these. We have a hip thrust machine at our gym. I used to do it with the long barbell and I really didn't like that a lot. I see a lot of females doing it. Kudos to them, doing great. But like the balance, the bar would like slide to the left, slide to the right. I could never really get it perfectly balanced on my hips. I probably could have used a little assistance there, but I'm so glad that we have the hip thrust machine now. But if you're using the barbell, you're going to sit on the ground with your upper back against a bench and get the barbell across your hips. I can't really explain this perfectly, but you're going to plant your feet on the floor with your hip width apart, and you're going to push through your heels. Even if you're doing the hip thrust machine, you're pushing through your heels and your hips toward the ceiling, squeezing your glutes at the top. You're going to lower your hips back down into the starting position and start again. One of the other ones I love, I don't remember if this is 3 or 4, but this is the leg press machine. You're going to adjust the seat, make sure it's good for your height, and put the appropriate weight on the leg press machine. Place your feet shoulder width apart on the platform and then push through your heels to extend your legs and slowly lower the weight back down. You know, you want to make sure you have the proper form. And a lot of people with the leg press, you know, it's going to target the quads, the hams, the glutes, and it's going to help strengthen and tone all of these muscles effectively. And compared to free weights like squats, this the leg press machine will provide a stable platform with back support and reduce the risk of injury, especially for beginners. So this is really good if you're just starting as well. And there's a lot of, you know, it comes with adjustable settings. It allows you to modify some things. You can modify foot placement, resistance. And then also, you know, you're going to avoid curling your hips up during the leg press exercise. And this is going to, so you're going to want to stop right before your hips curl up, because when you curl your hips up, it's going to place excessive pressure on your back. And a lot of people, when I see them do the leg press machine, I see them get really deep, they get it really, really deep and low, but their hips are curling up in their back. They're going to put a lot of pressure there. And so that's actually not correct. So you want to be careful with that. And then when you want to also engage the proper muscles. So when you do that, it also diminishes the effectiveness of the exercise. So you also want to make sure that your form is correct, because raising your hips can compromise your form. So you don't have to go that deep. And I think I have a video of me on the leg press machine on my Instagram. So go ahead and check that out. And if you have any questions about that, please let me know. There's some accessory exercises you can do for glutes as well. If I have time, I will do Bulgarian split squats. I will do cable kickbacks. And then I try to cool down at the end if I have 10 to 15 minutes to spare. I usually don't. So my cool down, honestly, is picking up my kids from the kids club, letting them run around outside with my midwife, my friend Katrina's kids, while we chat, and then gathering them up, rounding them up, and getting them in the car. That's usually my cool down. But if I do have time, I might do the sauna again for 10 more minutes or stretch on the mats upstairs. And then also, I did want to say that, you know, when we are trying to control the chaos in our lives, this is the bonus tip that I almost said in the beginning, but I wanted to save it for now, that I think when we come to accept the fact that things are going to get a little hairy, I think that kind of helps us, and realizing we don't have full control, I think that's going to help us just maintain and manage ourselves better, because we are the only person, really, technically, that we can control. And once we accept that, and this isn't to be like, woe is me. No, I love my life. I wouldn't trade it for anyone else's. But I do think there's something to be said for accepting the fact that things are going to get a little crazy sometimes, and there's going to be great days, there's going to be hard days, but knowing that we are the only person that we actually have control of, I think it helps us kind of relax a little bit. It does for me when I have that acceptance factor. And I hope the idea of the clock principle and timing, you know, using time to your advantage and using a change in timing to gain an advantage in your life helps you, and recognizing the right move and the right time for the right move. I hope that really resonates with you in your life as a mom. And I hope you were encouraged by this glute focus exercise. I don't know if there's anyone else out there who would love a happy bum like me. If so, feel free to let me know. I'm excited for you. I have an entire notepad on my phone for all of my, it's just like got a peach at the top, and it's just like my focused exercises. So basically, it has, you know, pick one, pick two, pick three, and it kind of goes down. If time allows, pick these extra exercises. And it's super fun. I love when I find one or two things to focus on, and then when I see the effectiveness of my efforts and eating properly and pushing myself well, I love that. So if I could ask for a favor, if you think of this, or if you're just pondering this episode after you listen to it, I would be so forever grateful for your prayers for my jiu-jitsu competition tomorrow, my very first one, but not just for me, for my family, and then also for all the competitors, the people that my opponent, my daughter's opponent, both of my daughter's opponents, my husband's. I just prayers for safety for both sides, prayers for wisdom. Let's see, I always pray for muscle memory recall and just good timing, and just prayers for that would be a huge blessing to me. These all the people here, they just love jujitsu, just like me, or they're challenging themselves with something. We are not enemies. We are going to get psyched to go in and, quote, fight. But ultimately, these are people that the Lord created. He loves them. I just pray that all goes well. And if we need to tap, that's what you do when you get submitted. And if we need to tap, we are wise enough to do so, and we are not too proud to do that. And so if you think of it, that would be seriously a huge blessing for me and my family. So prayers, it's called NAGA, the N-A-G-A. So for prayers for the Atlanta NAGA competition tomorrow and all the Atlanta competitors. Thank you so much for listening to the show.
If this episode inspired you, will you share with a friend? Remember, this podcast offers health education tips and holistic insights. Please consult healthcare professionals for personalized advice. Until next time, Mama, be bold and live well.